From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, with a slightly subdued beginning to the programme, as we take a moment to remember the soldiers that were murdered by the Taliban in Afghanistan this week. Some of whom came from the Duke of Wellington's and a single member from the Duke of Lancaster's regiment. And some of you may or may not know that RTI has very close association with the Dukes, as they're known, and we enjoyed their time over here last year when they played football with the local teams in Poprad. So our thoughts and prayers are with the families of those that have passed on. We hope that the guys are all upstairs looking down at us at the moment, and all we wish to say from RTI is we will remember you, and we'll take a moment's silence to reflect on that. This is RTI, Radio Tatras International, and the programme is Postcard from Poprad, which is typically a fun programme, but sometimes we have to be incredibly serious. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains in the town of Poprad, which is why the programme is called Postcard from Poprad, which is in the east of Slovakia. As I drive to work in the morning, I look at snow-covered mountains, which is far superior to the wet, windy, rainy place called Great Britain, the zit of the nose of Europe, populated by a Lee Banks. Hello, Lee.
Hello, that's me. Yeah, I tell you, honestly, it was absolutely throwing it down yesterday.
And your audio, you've done it again, haven't you? You've messed your sound up again.
I haven't done anything.
Doesn't he sound rubbish, Mark?
He sounds very strange, I have to say.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Lee being strange, it really does sound strange.
Yeah.
You've already said that, so I can't sell the joke.
No, I'm genuine. You sound horrible.
Yeah.
Should I come back on?
I think we should take a short pause and let Uncle Lee come back to us.
Yes.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
We're back, boys and girls. After that short jingle interlude, it's fixed his computer. He didn't have the plug-in properly. But somebody who has got the plug-in properly is Mark Gander, co-founder of the consumer action group In Gay Paris.
Well, hi there. Yes, I've always got my plug-in properly. if you want references for that, I can say. And anyway, thank you very much indeed. But I'm so sorry to say that it's such awful weather and everything in England, because I was in London yesterday.
But you got out all right, didn't you?
I got all right. What? Out of what?
London.
I got out, right, yeah.
That's right. But,
yeah.
Sure.
But the weather was beautiful. It was lovely. It was just so nice. It was sunny. It was wonderful. It was London. The people were friendly. Nobody spoke French, and there was no dog's muck on the ground. It was just fabulous.
My sister... My sister will love you, Mark.
She will love you because
she's always bemoaning the fact that I go on about how bad England is, and I shouldn't do that because I'm English. And there you are sitting there. So that was for you, sis. And Lee Banks, well, there's just no hope.
Well, yeah, I don't think you should not do it just because you're English. I just think you shouldn't do it because I don't think it's true. I think it's just a brilliant place to be.
No, I like Slovakia.
Oh, I'm sure it's great, you know.
Really.
Excuse me?
What?
Do I exist?
No. You're in the place I don't like now. Did.
Yeah, you're all right. Mark, Eric's sister, she go show you good time.
Yeah.
Hello, Lee.
Hello. You all right?
I think so.
Yeah, I tell you what, honestly, I just wanted to say something. You and Eric and Mark, you just chat for the rest of the show and just ignore me. I don't mind.
That's all right, that's what we're doing.
And another thing I was saying, Eric,
what was you going to say, Mark?
I'm not sure, but it was something. But there's a buzz in the back of my head.
Oh, right. Okay.
A buzz, yeah. I hope it's a chainsaw. Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, it was International Women's Day in Britain as well while you were here, Mark. Oh, yeah. I don't suppose about that, did you?
No, I didn't know anything about it.
But you know what struck me about it?
What?
Well, there's one day in the year that's International Women's Day. That means the rest of the year belongs to us men.
Oh, fantastic.
No, you got that wrong.
No, I didn't. I've got it written down here.
Totally opposite. We're all under the thumb for the entire 364 days of the year. And so one day of the year, we all have a day off.
Can I ask you a question? There's a man in a forest, and he's all alone in the forest. There's no women anywhere. Is he still wrong?
It depends if he's got his chopper out.
Oh, no, you've just given me the most... I'll try to clean this up. Yeah. It's your fault, Lee, because...
Well, you shouldn't have ignored me at the beginning. No. And switched me off and played a jingle across me, Joe.
Well, because I don't subscribe to all these international days because I just think they're commercialism. So I could sense the fact that I was in deep trouble as I wished everybody goodbye from the office, and I was going home to Martina thinking, I could be in trouble here.
But, I mean, what are they doing? Are they selling cards? I mean, did you have to sort of give cards to people?
Flowers? Chocolates?
I'm giving you this card because you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With flowers, Mark.
Well, okay, flowers, but...
Yeah, so I'm thinking
about those two lesbians quite seriously.
So,
Valentine's Day, we're in a restaurant, and they wouldn't give him a rose because he said it wasn't a real relationship.
I think that's stupid.
Disgusting.
So anyway, on the way home, I'm thinking there is no flower shop.
Flower shop,
right?
Now I could go 200 meters out my way and go to a flower shop, but you never know.
There's somebody's front garden there you could have passed.
No, so I stopped at the off license.
Yes.
And so
got a bind of flowers.
And lo and behold, in there, they've got a nice box of chocolates.
Yeah.
Oh. Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen? This is really interesting. This is Eric being romantic.
In the shape. There's 16 large chocolates in this box.
That does not represent Eric. Well, it does.
And by the time they got round to Martina, there were how many?
There were still 16.
They had a little chunk out.
They were all in the shape of a completely formed willy.
Oh, no!
Yes.
Disgusting!
So right. I said she could only eat them if I could take photos. And actually, if anybody's a friend of hers on Facebook, she took a picture of them and stuck them on her Facebook profile.
Are we actually recording this?
Yes.
I think
am I allowed to distance myself from...
Yeah. Well,
Mark, you're 2,000 kilometres away anyway.
Oh, right, yes, I am distance, really.
Yes, really. Let's move along, boys and girls.
This is a love affair, isn't it, between you two? I'm the cuckold. Cuckold.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Da 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 movie series in the world ever. Star Wars.
No, it wasn't.
I was waiting for that.
It was as good as E.T. It was about as good as... What's that Star Trek rubbish? It's about that quality, isn't it? What a load of rubbish.
It's funny, because I like E.T., Cocoon and Battlestar Galactica.
Cocoon, that's only because it's about old people.
Cocoon was dreadful.
Wasn't. What, which one?
Cocoon was so good, all of them. All
it was
three.
Funny.
It was, and what's funny about a big spout of water coming out of a swimming bath and eating old people? I'm losing my voice now.
Good. Anyway, Ralph McQuarrie, the artist who helped George Lucas bring Star Wars to the big screen, has died aged 82. What an amazing artist, especially way back then when there wasn't loads of tech to help him. And on a tribute website, it says simply, "We'll miss you, Ralph. You will forever be the brightest star in our galaxy." It's not my fault this week. I've had my teeth worked on again.
Oh, help your girlfriend out, Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, help your girlfriend out. He's stumbling.
Well, I'll wait for next International Women's Day.
Anyway.
I agree. Ralph McQuarrie was a good artist. But I have to Mark, help me out now.
So this is quite... You know, this is happening. Everybody's got some stumbling disease.
Yes.
Like moo cows, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Shall we move on?
Yeah, anyway, yeah. Anyway, right, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Next.
Dear, oh dear. Well, I think this is absolutely terrible. I think it's the most incredible story of the week. "I can spot a crib at 2 years old," says Britain's behaviour czar. Well, what a good move on his side. All children are potential criminals, you big cock. all of them are. At 2 years old, have you ever found one that actually behaves?
Nope.
Oh, come on. No, I'm going to stand against that.
I think about it.
All children are potentially absolutely super well-balanced little kids and people. And, of course, they do go wrong. But I have to say that to look at it from that point of view is just so...
No, Mark. You might be coming from a slightly different angle to me, but at 2 years old...
Move on. Yeah, no, shut up, Lee.
At 2 years old, a kid hasn't got the influences of adult behaviour. Therefore, they don't know right from wrong. They will put their fingers in a fire. They will put their fingers in, you know, holes for DVDs and the like.
Does he get this, that he can spot criminality?
I don't get it.
He can spot them as bang to rights felons. You know, that are going to...
Oh, I know what it is, Mark. They're wearing one of those old cowboy children's dressing up things with a mask on and a plastic gun.
Yeah. I tell you, the thing is, with a 2-year-old, you've got to understand those 2-year-olds now know that you can't smack them, you can't hang them. There is nothing you can do against them in this new world. So they are on the world criminality. The government is right.
Yeah. Really?
We've got a sub-forum for 2-year-olds on the Consumer Action Group where they come along and they ask us the rights, so we give it to them. They know how to stand up for their parents. They know how to... We write letters for them, they send to their parents. Dear sir, they address their dads.
Oh, don't.
And that's only because they don't know them if they live in Britain.
Do you remember...
Further to the beating you gave me last night.
Do you know that personage called the Prime Minister Harold Wilson from years back?
He's not a 2-year-old. Now, mind you, he's related.
Do you know he had the audacity when I was at work to write to me as Master Wiltshire?
Well, people did.
What, he stole your name?
He wrote... I was, a big hairy-assed biker on my 600 BSA, and I get a letter from 10 Downing Street addressed to Master E.N. Wiltshire. What a nerd lead.
That's what you're getting involved with, Mark. Yes. Yeah, the arse biker. He said it. I can say it now. He said it.
Anyway.
When this program's going,
It's getting even worse now. No sex, please. We're not Dutch. Ofcom has lodged a complaint with the Dutch media regulator about adult chat channels, which are licensed in the Netherlands but are broadcast in the EU it's all covered under EU rules. Yeah. And it's not the first time that Ofcom has lodged a complaint with the Dutch media regulator. Famously, they did it with a station called Red Hot Dutch in the early 90s.
And you can't cap that.
You can't, because that was very explicit. But apparently, Richard Desmond's Babe Station, as in the famous Richard Desmond that does publishing, licensed his station in the Netherlands, not in the UK, to get round some interesting regulations of the UK. Now the UK regulator is saying, hold on a minute, it's got a license in Holland, but we don't agree with it. So who's right and who's wrong?
Well, I have to say right up front, I think it's totally wrong that you have to plough through hundreds and hundreds of channels on Freeview from Babe Station to Gay Rabbits for some reason. Yeah. And it's not even porn. It's not even porn. It's just like women, nubile writhing women with pretend biffers orally assaulting mobile phones. And that's supposed to be porn. It's a load of rubbish.
I'm sorry, are you objecting or are you expressing disappointment? I can't
remember. I think there's disappointment in his voice. I think there is.
Well, listen, I look at it from the point of view that I want my children to look at. And if the behaviour style's got anything to do about it, he ought to be worried of the fact that this might even be, you know, you switch it on, you leave your 2-year-old in front of the Teletubbies, and the next thing you know is they're watching Red Hot Crutch. It's just
It's not even that. It's absolute rubbish. It is absolutely appallingly bad. And I do think it is. I have various feelings about pornography, but this is just an insult to anybody.
But it's not a question of the fact that it's pornography. The fact that the whole thing is that it's sexualizing and, you know, that it's available to kids of that age. And no wonder we've got this funding. I tell you, I wouldn't like my children to watch it. I don't know if you think that you'd be very happy with it. And I think that children
What's it sexualizing, Mark? Life is sexualizing.
Well, actually, I think, of course, life is sexualizing, but, you know, on a sort of gradual, normal sort of rate as one grows and sort of learns to accommodate it.
Not when you're a two-year-old criminal.
But, you know, I think that you know, for instance, you pass these clothes shops where they're sort of selling, you know, mini bras and what have you for sort of eight-year-olds and so forth. And I think it is sexualizing, and I think it's all too early. And I don't think it allows these kids to enjoy their childhood.
I think
that's a very important point.
I think that is a good point. I'll tell you what we're all missing, chaps.
Yes,
is we have to do a bit of research on this because I don't know the answer. Now, if it is the case that other countries such as Holland have less trouble with sexual crime because their rules are one way and the UK's are up the other way, and if it is that the UK's got higher sexual crime rates than the European counterparts, that would suggest that the European counterparts have got it right and the UK have got it wrong. Secondly, I'm bemused as to why the broadcaster 6TV complained about this channel, because it claims that children with Freeview available in their bedrooms were being exposed to adult content banned under UK law. Now, please tell me, where is this? Is the television some kind of unpaid babysitter now?
Well, it is. Of course it is in Britain, isn't it? It's across the world. But the simple fact is, more important, I think, quite genuinely, on these sort of these Freeview channels, is that, in a way, I agree with Mark, it is sexualizing in a bizarre and dishonest and totally awful way. Yeah. The women you see on there are obviously there for the money.
It's all titillation. I know what it is.
Sexualization ought to come along with the whole business of understanding relationships, because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about. And watching this kind of stuff on television has got nothing to do with relationships. It's just to do with getting it off. No, I haven't watched these ones, but I'm going to find out which.
Well, hang on, Mark. Let's put this into context a bit, because in Slovakia, certainly after what is considered to be the watershed, there will be considerably more adult programs on with certainly feminine nudity, not necessarily male full frontal nudity, on the television from about...
How disappointing.
From about 10.
I think that's very sexist in itself, though.
No, from about 10.
I agree. I think it is very sexist.
The channels that we're talking about here... I agree that the star of the show, the lady on the screen, will be there in skimpy clothing, but she will not be uncovered. So it's nothing more than a child would expect to see of mum walking around the house.
And this is no more than you see on page 3 of The Sun.
No.
It is a pair of pretend biffers. And that's what the world's getting upset about, pretend biffers. There is nothing wrong with real
biffers.
No, they're
not exposed, though, Lee.
On Britain, on these channels, they are.
On the free-to-air ones, Richard Desmond's free-to-air ones, it's rarely as strong as page 3. And in fact, if you turned it on now, don't go.
Are you talking about on Freeview?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, and I'm going to expose myself here. But I've just done it.
Right. Have they got their biffers unblocked now?
Well, yeah, they always have. Well, I've not looked because they're not on at this time.
But exactly. That's my point. They're not on at this time of day.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the prurience of this kind of pretend pornography is far beyond the reaches of tabloid press and things like that. It is just an insult. And I agree with Mark, it gives no indication of what a real relationship, sexual or any other kind, is about. This is just an absolute insult to men and women. And the fact in this press release that you're working from, they actually say that these channels are there to make men pay for them.
Absolutely.
Well, it's not only men who watch them.
It's girls.
Women watch them as well, And why do you know that in Britain, and still today, the barometer for pornography, and this is the truth, is the male erection. If there is a male erection on the screen, then it is classed as pornography. If there is a flaccid penis on the screen, then it is not classed as pornography.
Yeah,
I think that is absolutely heinous. that sex is a wonderful and beautiful thing and the very basics of what life grows out of. And why are we so ashamed of it that we've fallen to this?
I know. It is quite funny because it's like several years ago when Chris Tarrant used to do his advert program on ITV.
Yes.
Where in England, the girl gets into the bath to have a luxurious bath with the latest whatever it is bubble bath, and she's got clothes on. Yeah. Whereas the equivalent advert in Germany is very, very discreetly done, where you do see her little cheekies, but you don't see nothing else because the arms are in the right place at the right time, and she gets into a bath. Now, I don't see people getting into the bath with their clothes on.
You've not been to any of my parties.
Well, that's very true. And the other thing is, I'm surprised that the UK's never adopted the same system as I think they have in France, Mark, and they certainly have here, whereby on a terrestrial TV channel, if it's ranked as a 12 and over programme in age, they'll put a little thing on the screen which gets more and more towards red, 18, as the day progresses.
I haven't noticed that in France at all.
Well, it used to be on in France.
I have to say, the attitude in France I find quite extraordinary. I mean, I remember on New Year's Eve here, for instance, from about sort of 7 o'clock in the evening, they had a cabaret show going all the way through to midnight, so about 5 hours and then beyond, so about 6 hours. And it was hosted by a large number of topless women all the way through. I mean, this was from 7 o'clock, the kids were watching it. It was all very pretty, but it was
All right, just a question, Mark. Off the top of your head, is sexual crime a big thing there? Is it on the TV, in the papers?
I can't tell you. Partly I don't follow that kind of thing. Mm. But in fact, actually, crime and what really happens on the streets here is very, very underreported. And I would say that the people in this country actually don't really know what's going on. The authorities don't really like to let them know.
Well, I'd be interested to find out. And if you know from where you are living right now, I'd be interested to know from you, if you're up in Scandinavia and places as well. My hot chocolate's too cold, complains a prisoner aged 39, Lee.
Well, I feel sorry for the poor loves.
Oh, sod off!
I do know it started in childhood. The behaviours are says so, and there's nothing worse than when you're in prison and having to dunk your husk in cold chocolate. That's what ruins your life. Honestly.
Yeah,
I think it's absolutely terrible. Yes, that prisoners at Armley Jail in Leeds have sent 850 complaints over a 3-month period. Complain about the fact that the chocolate's a bit cold when it gets delivered, that the televisions don't work properly, that the meals aren't quite up to standard, that the toilets don't work properly, and the temperature's a bit cold in the bedroom. What a pick. Honestly, what is Britain coming to? People are taking these complaints seriously.
Really?
Yeah, people are taking... Yeah, government organisations are looking into this. Oh, we'll have to keep the poor loves warm. Yeah, what is, if you do a crime, then, to use that awful, awful metaphor, you are going to do the time. Mm. And if you don't want to do the time, and you don't want to be a little bit chilly in the middle of the night because you've only got a blanket and a bit of concrete to sleep on, don't do the crime.
It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Let's move on. Bank of Ireland is one of the mortgage rate increase type banks, and Mark's got a load of info on the rest of them as well.
Well, yes, I hadn't heard about this news that the Bank of Ireland has become the latest lender to increase its mortgage rates. Apparently, that's going to affect 100,000 UK customers who weren't expecting it. But in fact, the RBS, our almost entirely nationalised Royal Bank of Scotland, which had to be rescued from failure and bailed out by the taxpayer, they're putting up their mortgage rates by, once again, probably about... Well, they say they're putting them up by something less than 1%. It sort of sounds very little, but actually they're putting them up by about a margin of 25% over what it used to be. Mm. And then the latest one is the Halifax, once again, 40% owned. Halifax Bank of Scotland, 40% owned. Previously, they've demonstrated they can't run a bank and they have to be bailed out as well. And they're suddenly raising their rates by, once again, a margin of about 25%. Mm. Apparently, they're going to be affecting something like 850,000 people. Now, this is 850,000 people who've managed to weather the financial storm so far, have managed to balance their expenses, have managed to not be repossessed, have managed to sort of, you know, carry on responsibly.
On the brink.
And many of them on the brink. I'm sure not all of them on the brink, but many of them all on the brink. And suddenly they reward for, first of all, being a taxpayer and contributing to the bailing out of these banks, and also their reward for having been prudent enough to be able to keep away from the jaws of the what is it, a wolf, the jaws of the wolf.
Yeah.
Suddenly they get a slap in the face, and their mortgage costs are likely to go up by something like 25%. Well, there you are, a nice thank you gesture from the UK British banks. Vince Cable said that the banks, who because they're not able, for instance, to lend enough to businesses, they are preventing the economy from getting back on its feet. And I think that the banks are preventing the economy from getting back on its feet simply by smashing these people down as well when they're trying to pick themselves up.
Can I ask you very briefly, because we've only got a couple of minutes in part one, to do us an update on PPI, which is the Payment Protection Insurance, because there's a bunch of stuff going on there as well, Mark.
Well, there is, yes. I mean, once again, the PPI scandal, in other words, you had a loan and then you bought insurance in case you were going to be unemployed or in case you were ill. These insurances were sold by the banks to anybody. It didn't matter if you were self-employed, so you weren't covered. It didn't matter if you were already ill, you weren't covered. And often, I mean, we're finding a lot of times where you simply did tick the box and it says, tick the box if you don't want PPI insurance, and blow me, they were still selling it to you and they were still charging. And of course, people are a bit disorganized and they didn't realize they were paying. The courts eventually ordered the banks to have to pay it back. Amazing the banks didn't want to do that. Mm. And then most recently, the FSA, which is our fundamentally supine authority, authority who are meant to regulate but don't do a very good job, the banking industry, they have now ordered the banks to send letters out to PPI victims recommending they put in claims for refunds. If we've got time to go on, I just want to say that a lot of people are putting out the flag and saying this is fantastic. It means that everybody's going to be getting written to, which is going to spur a lot more people to claim. Unfortunately, and it's not true.
Right. One quick question. The companies that are advertising on every TV channel going, I think, saying that they'll get your money back.
The claims management companies.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, there we are. I mean, you know, these people are sort of leeching off the rest of people. Getting back your PPI insurance is straightforward. You do not need claims management. If you get a claims management company, you will be paying probably at least 25%. And I've seen figures as high as 49% of whatever you get back. Plus, loads and loads of trouble.
Mark, do you have a sort of like a dummy's guide on the Consumer Action Group?
Well, really, I would say that, you know, the difference of scenarios are so various. Mm. There are all sorts of advice given for all sorts of different situations. But we've got a PPI sub-forum where, really, if you come along and spend an hour or two of that, you'll see what it's all about and you'll understand very quickly what to do. And even better than just giving a dummy's guide, come along, ask some questions, tell people your situation, and you'll find out everything you need to do in a very, very short time.
That was the end of part one, a postcard from PopRad, boys and girls. We'll be back with more headline stories in Faster Than You Can Make That Milkshake.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.